Well, one day a little girl was sitting and watching her mother do the dishes at the kitchen sink. She suddenly noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair showing in contrast to her black hair. She looked at her mother and inquisitively asked, "Why are some of your hairs white, Mom?" Her mother replied, "Well, every time that you do something wrong and make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turns white." The little girl thought about this revelation for a while and then said, "Mommy, how come all of Grandma's hairs are white?" Well, when we listen to today's gospel about the end of the world, it says people will die of fright with what will happen at the end of the world. So I'm sure when the Lord described the sun going dark or the moon and the stars falling from the skies, that I'm sure some people's hair turned white or at least stood up on edge, because it's not easy to hear about the end of the world, where the powers of the heavens will be shaken, where the sea and the waves will be roaring, it says. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about how the sun will be darkened, the moon will be blood red, the stars will fall from the skies, the sky will be rolled up like a scroll. All these things are in the book of Revelation, talking about the end times and the end of the world. And why do we have these readings during Advent? Well, when we look at Advent, really Advent is about the past, about the future, and about the present. And when we look at the future, Advent is to prepare us for the second coming of Christ. We don't know when that will be, but we know that Christ will come again. We say often, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. We know that Jesus will come again, his second coming, where he'll come to judge the living and the dead. He'll come to judge everyone in great power and majesty. And so the church during Advent wants us to prepare for the second coming of Christ. It looks to the future and reminds us, as we heard in today's gospel, that we will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. Notice how different this was than when the first time Jesus came 2,000 years ago. When Christ came 2,000 years ago, when we look at the past, we see that he came in humility. He came very hidden, very humble. He came in the little stable in Bethlehem. And very few people even knew about the birth of Christ. Our Lady and Saint Joseph, some wise men, some shepherds, but largely the entire world did not realize that the Son of God had just become a little baby in Bethlehem. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. And when we think about that, contrast that to the second coming of Christ, when he comes in the clouds of heaven. He comes with glory and power and majesty to judge the living and the dead. But notice Scripture says we should not be worried about it. We should be prepared, but we should not be fearful or terrified like the unbelievers will be. In fact, those are the, as you know, Bishop Sheen said, there's two kinds of people that will be on the earth when Jesus comes again: those that will be fearful and terrified, and those that will be filled with joy and expectation at the second coming of Christ. If you're prepared and ready, then we look forward, of course, to the second coming of Christ. The Scripture says today, when these signs begin to happen, stand upright and raise your head, because your redemption is near at hand. It's something to look forward to. In fact, we pray for the second coming of Christ every time we say the Our Father. We say, "Thy kingdom come." So every time we say the Our Father, we're actually praying for the second coming of Christ. We're praying for his return. We know that that Christ died for us, that he rose from the dead, but we know that he will come again and judge the living and the dead. Now then, the Scripture tells us what to do to be prepared. And Scripture says, do not become drowsy from carousing or drunkenness or being filled with anxiety of daily life. Don't let that day catch you by surprise like a trap. says that day of judgment will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. And of course, that's whether it be the second coming of Christ or the moment of our own death. We will all come and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So Scripture says, Jesus says today, be vigilant, be watchful, and pray that we will have strength to stand before the Son of Man. So this is the advice that Scripture gives us today, to be watchful, to be ready, to look forward to the second coming of Christ. So notice that when we think of Advent, we think of the future, the second coming of Christ. We think of this time of Advent, these 4 weeks, to prepare ourselves for His second coming. We also prepare ourselves for the moment of our own death, whenever that might be. But then Advent, as I mentioned, looks to the past and thinks back to the Jewish people who prayed for so many thousands of years for their Messiah. In fact, they prayed for 4,000 years for their Messiah. So not only does the Advent wreath represent the 4 weeks of Advent, but it also represents the 4,000 years, one candle for every 1,000 years, that the Jewish people waited for their Messiah. So Advent looks back to the past. That's why the readings during Advent will be from Jeremiah and Isaiah and the prophets, looking forward to the coming of Christ. But then lastly, Advent is about the present. Yes, we look to the future, we look back to the past, but the most important thing about Advent is the present. What can we do here and now to come closer to Christ during this 4 week period of Advent? Some suggestions would be, first, go to confession sometime during Advent. Everyone should make a good and holy confession during the Advent season. What better way to prepare your heart and soul to receive Christ at Christmas than to make a good confession? And always live in the state of grace, in the state of sanctifying grace. Another suggestion would be to try to go to daily Mass if you can. If you can work it into your schedule, come to the 8:30 Mass or the 12 noon Mass, or maybe a Mass at a different church if that's more convenient. But try to go to daily Mass during Advent and receive Jesus frequently in Holy Communion. Again, what a great way to prepare spiritually for Christmas. And personally, I always pray the joyful mysteries every day during Advent. If you've never done that, try it this year. Say the joyful mysteries every day during Advent. And that way you'll be meditating upon the Annunciation, the Visitation, the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, the presentation in the temple and the finding in the temple. If you pray the joyful mysteries every day, it'll keep Christmas, it'll keep your heart preparing for the birth of Christ, because you'll be thinking every day during Advent about the birth of Christ. And then lastly, I would suggest give something to the poor. There's many that are suffering out there. There's many families that need help, many individuals. So be generous. Maybe go through your closets, give away some of your things to the needy, to the poor, or make a donation to a good cause that can help to feed the poor, take care of the hungry or the homeless during this season. That way we can try to get away from some of the materialism and focus on spiritual growth and holiness through confession, through daily Mass, and through prayer, and through generosity to those in need in the poor. So that's what Advent is about. It's about looking to the past. It's about looking to the future. But primarily, and most important for us, it's living holiness in the present moment.